Please, for our second reading, our Old Testament reading, 1 Chronicles chapter 11. First Chronicles chapter 11, verse 1, hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. Then all Israel gathered themselves to David unto Hebron, saying, Behold, we are thy bone and thy flesh. And moreover, in time past, even when Saul was king, thou wast he that leddest out and broughtest in Israel. And the Lord thy God said unto thee, Thou shalt feed my people Israel, and thou shalt be ruler over my people Israel. Therefore came all the elders of Israel to the king to Hebron, and David made a covenant with them in Hebron before the Lord, and they anointed David king over Israel according to the word of the Lord by Samuel. And David and all Israel went to Jerusalem, which is Jebus, where the Jebusites were, the inhabitants of the land. And the inhabitants of Jebus said to David, Thou shalt not come hither. Nevertheless, David took the castle of Zion, which is the city of David. And David said, Whosoever smiteth the Jebusites first shall be chief and captain. So Joab, the son of Zeruiah, went first up and was chief. And David dwelt in the castle. Therefore they called it the city of David. And he built the city round about, even from Milo round about, and Joab repaired the rest of the city. So David waxed greater and greater, for the Lord of hosts was with him. These also are the chief of the mighty men whom David had, who strengthened themselves with him in his kingdom, and with all Israel, to make him king, according to the word of the Lord concerning Israel. And this is the number of the mighty men whom David had. Jashobeam, an Hachmonite, chief of the captains, he lifted up his spear against 300 slain by him at one time. And after him was Eleazar, the son of Dodo the Ahohite, who was one of the three mighties. He was with David at Pasdamim, and there the Philistines were gathered together to battle, where was a parcel of ground full of barley, and the people fled from before the Philistines, and they set themselves in the midst of that parcel and delivered it and slew the Philistines, and the Lord saved them by a great deliverance. Now 3 of the 30 captains went down to the rock to David into the cave of Adullam, and the host of the Philistines encamped in the valley of Rephaim. And David was then in the hold, and the Philistines' garrison was then at Bethlehem. And David longed and said, Oh, that one would give me drink of the water of the well of Bethlehem, that is at the gate. And the 3 brake through the host of the Philistines and drew water out of the well of Bethlehem, that was by the gate, and took it and brought it to David. But David would not drink of it, but poured it out to the Lord and said, My God forbid it me that I should do this thing. Shall I drink the blood of these men that have put their lives in jeopardy? For with the jeopardy of their lives they brought it. Therefore he would not drink it. These things did these 3 mightiest. And Abishai, the brother of Joab, he was chief of the 3. For lifting up his spear against 300, he slew them and had a name among the 3. Of the 3, he was more honorable than the 2, for he was their captain, howbeit he attained not to the first 3. Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, the son of a valiant man of Kabzeel, who had done many acts, he slew 2 lion-like men of Moab. Also, he went down and slew a lion in a pit in a snowy day. And he slew an Egyptian, a man of great stature, 5 cubits high, and in the Egyptian's hand was a spear like a weaver's beam. And he went down to him with a staff and plucked the spear out of the Egyptian's hand and slew him with his own spear. These things did Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, and had the name among the 3 mighties. Behold, he was honorable among the 30, but attained not to the first 3. And David set him over his guard. Also the valiant men of the armies were Asahel, the brother of Joab, Elhanan, the son of Dodo of Bethlehem, Shamot, the Hararite, Helez the Pelonite, Ira the son of Ikesh the Tekoite, Abiezer the Antathite, Sibekai the Hushathite, Eli the Ahohite, Mahari the Netophathite, Heled the son of Baana the Netophathite, Ittai the son of Ribai of Gibeah that pertained to the children of Benjamin, Benaiah the Pirathonite, Hurai of the brooks of Gaash, Abiel the Arbathite, Azmavet the Barhumite, Eliahba the Sha'albanite, the sons of Hashem the Gizanite, Jonathan the son of Shagai the Hararite, Ahiam the son of Sakar the Hararite, Eliphel the son of Ur, Hefer the Makarathite, Ahijah the Pelonite, Hezro the Carmelite, Naarai the son of Esbai, Joel the brother of Nathan, Mibhar the son of Hagari, Zelek the Ammonite, Naharai the Berothite, the armor bearer of Joab the son of Zeruiah, Ira the Ithrite, Gareb the Ithrite, Uriah the Hittite, Zabad the son of Ahlai, Adina, the son of Shiza, the Reubenite, a captain of the Reubenites, and 30 with him. Hanan, the son of Ma'aka, and Joshaphat, the Mithnite, Uzziah, the Ashterathite, Shammah, and Jehiel, the sons of Hotan, the Aroerite, Jediel, the son of Shimri, and Joha, the brother, the Tizzite, Eliel, the Mahavite, and Jeribai, and Joshaviah, the sons of El-Naam, and Ithma, the Moabite, Eliel, and Obed, and Jaziel, the Mesobite. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his most holy word. So like we said last week, we go through chapter 10 very, very quickly. There's a genealogy at the end, giving Saul's genealogy, and then his fall and death, and now we are at David here in the chronicler's history in chapter 11. And while we thought we were out of the names, still we are not. We are speaking of the names of David's mighty men and others that joined with him in his, in his shock force. He had men that were extremely skilled in warfare, as we see. All right, so what do we see here in this chapter? First of all, David's ascent to the throne after Saul's demise in verses 1 through 9. It's an important part, it's an important point on the part of the people of David. They did not act precipitously, but in an orderly manner. Note also the preparation for leadership in the eyes of the people that the Lord provided for David before his regal accession. Right? He was already leading the troops of God against the enemies of God. You're the one who went out and came in with us. Saul spent most of his time chasing after David. It was only occasionally that he went after the enemies of God. David spent his full time, even while he was running from Saul, conquering the enemies of God, Philistines and others, Amalekites and so on. Notice also they made a covenant and that it was by representation. It was all the elders of the people of the land that came and made David king. Beza, we'll call them the estates, right? Those lesser magistrates gathered themselves together, and by the consent of the governed, David enters into covenant with them to reign over them as king. This is God's orderly way of civil government. And it matters not if it's a monarchy, if it's an oligarchy, if it's a democratic republic. It doesn't really matter. All forms that are not dictatorial, right, that are not tyrannical, all forms, all structures of government, we might say it like that, are lawful. Monarchies, representative governments, and so on, because they are all to be represented. They're all to have a representative. Even if they have an executor or an executive like we have in this country, still he is elected by the consent of the governed. This is God's way of organizing civil government. All right, so they made a covenant, and the prophet is careful to credit the Lord's word which came by Samuel. Now the Lord blesses his kingdom and gives him the city of David. The Jebusites say, "You're not coming here." David says, "Watch me." And so forward he goes and conquers Jebus, which is Jerusalem. And notice now that the call sign is changed. It's no longer the city of Jebus. It will be called Jerusalem, right? But it is now also known as the city of David. Okay. So, David subdued the enemies of the Lord. The Jebusites were Canaanites, and they should have been taken care of in the days of Joshua, but they were not. So David finishes that job, and David will indeed consolidate Zion to himself. He'll build the city, and it will be his son that will build the temple of the Lord as a type of Christ. David is a type of Christ in that he reigns. His son is also a type of Christ, Solomon, in that he will build the temple of the Lord. Remember, it was David that gave him the pattern for that. So now we move to the naming of the mighty men. We don't have time really to go through much detail here, but there are some things that are noteworthy. Notice in this particular mentioning, there are those three mighty over the other three and then over the 30. But notice also that only two of them are mentioned in this passage. Well, back in the parallel passage in 2 Samuel, they are mentioned by name toward the end of the book. So what we want to understand here is that David had many that came to him. Even in days when it appeared that things were ill for him, they were loyal to him, and they were loyal to him in days when it appeared that things were going well for him. And so we want our loyalty to Christ to be in good times and in bad times. What did Satan say to the Lord? Oh yeah, it's easy to serve God when you've got a hedge set about you, and so on. We want to have Christ as our King, even if affliction comes, even if deprivation comes. And so they went to him in the cave of Adullam, and they joined him here now in his new authority as king. In every place then, and in every station, we want to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. And notice that as great as David was, he was not a loner. He had his mighties. He could not do everything by himself. He was but a man. And so we want to remember that although he serves as a type of Christ in many ways, still he is a man and he needs helpers. And the Lord Jesus Christ, although he needs no helpers, and it is by his strength that we fight, he has called his army to himself even in our day. And that he has some that serve as mighties, the chief three. And then he has others that serve as the three under the three. And then he has others that serve as a part of the 30. And then he has others that serve in that mighty army that no man can name or number. And we must all take our place in that. Notice David's appreciation for the service of those under him. Here's the sign of a good leader in straits. And he muses out loud, "Oh, that I might have a drink from the well of Bethlehem," which is at the gate. Well, three of his mighty men hear it, the mightiest of all, and they break through the garrison of the Philistines and they bring him a cruse of water. Notice their willingness to serve their king. Beloved, does that describe our willingness to serve Christ? If we would but hear a musing of his, would we press forward and hazard ourselves? And then notice David's receipt of that labor. He says, How could I partake of that? How could I drink of that? And so we see David's servant leadership, even of his people, and how there is this communion between them. David doesn't lord it over his people. And may I say, beloved, that our Lord Jesus Christ does not even lord it over us, does he? Not in that sense that although he is our Lord, what do we find him doing in John 13? We find him washing the disciples' feet and tells us to learn to do the same. So it seems that this point then is that when we are dedicated to the cause of Christ, when he is our captain, there is no enemy that can stand against us, and that our loyalty to our King will move us forward even in the face of opposition. This is the redemptive historical use we make even of that section. So then we have others that are said to be a second set of the three. They are not as useful as the first three, but they are still mighty, and their exploits are mentioned. And then in that final section, verses 26 through the end, where we have the names and their relative duties and the places that they came from. We may not be in the first three, beloved, and we may not be in the second three. We may not even be in the 30, but we have a place. We can indeed be of service in the kingdom of our greater David by a word fitly spoken, by hospitality, by offline counsel, advice given informally and in that brotherly or sisterly way. We can do that by bringing groceries, taking the kids for a few hours for a couple who needs a break. These are all kinds of things that, while perhaps not in the top six, still reap great dividends for Christ and his kingdom. We remember that according to the word of Christ, giving a cup of water in the name of a disciple will not be forgotten. I wonder if Christ had in mind the cup of water that the men brought from the well of Bethlehem. And then finally, let us look at the makeup of these men. These warriors were men from various places, some even of Gentile origin, yet now brought together under David. And we are reminded of that army of Christ, which is made up of every kindred and tribe and tongue, and none excluded because of their birth. Uriah the Hittite and others like him. Beloved, let us remember that in these days of division and rancor. With that then, let's stand and continue praising God in the singing of psalms.